What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Syndicates. We are back after taking a week off for the Christmas holiday. Vic, John, Eddie, all here with you this week. We are in wild card week, finally got to the playoffs. So it's been a long season, a good season, but it's certainly been fun. So we appreciate everyone tuning in this year for our first year of our podcast, and hopefully many more to come. So John and I are under the weather this week. We battled a little bit of the sniffles, so you know how guys get when we get sniffly. And John, it's been no fun. I don't know if you're feeling better yet, but
sickness. We gotta fight through it, man. Playoff time. We'll fight through it.
Exactly. We got Warriors and Gladiators over here. So guys, I don't know how you guys did for week 17, but I kind of want to talk about this before we jump into the playoff games. Anything different you guys do for just week 17? Because I don't know about you, but there were so many lines that were just so wacky last week. And it's hard to motivate, or it's hard to handicap, like, who's going to play all out and who's going to play, you know, just their backups. Like, you look at the Saints, they didn't play anybody, really. Then you look at the Cowboys, who had nothing to play for, and they went pretty much balls to the wall against the Giants. So, Vic, I'll let you kick it off first. Anything you did differently last week?
Yeah, it was a tough week, man, but what I tried to look for, like, ahead of time, who's going to be benching guys. And then the biggest thing I went after was, like, teams that are really good that were motivated. So the Chiefs and the Patriots, those were two teams that I hit in my contests. And then just basically because the Chiefs needed to get it to get home field, get the one seed, the Pats always, always, always are amazing at home. So you know that they wanted to get that two seed. And they were playing two crappy teams. I felt like the Raiders won their Super Bowl the week before. So I just kind of focused on some good teams, tried to figure out who was motivated. But like you said, I mean, the Cowboys kind of was reversed, right? Everyone was on the Giants because everyone thought the Cowboys.
Yeah, I thought the Cowboys would just bench all their guys. And then all of a sudden, you know, Dak Prescott's playing still in the fourth quarter, trying to lead the game-winning drive, 2 minutes left. So some guys treat them like preseason. Some treat them like they're actual, you know, real games with legitimate meaning. So, John, you switch up anything last week, or did you play anything at all? I know you're pretty busy.
I'll tell you what I did. I want to. Of course, I played. I always got to play. But I just want to thank you. If we could show our chat that me, you, and Vic have on Twitter, and I think it was Vic that asked if there was anything you guys liked this week because we didn't talk to each other, and you shot out this paragraph about why Buffalo's gonna win because Kyle Williams is a god in Buffalo. And who the heck, you know, most of the country did not know that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I basically just straight rolled with Buffalo at 1 o'clock because the 1 o'clock board was horrendous last week. There was nothing else to play. So I took Buffalo, and I did it all because of what you said. So that was a big thing. They had a motivational factor because of the Kyle Williams was leaving. I love when something like that happens. So I had the first half. That was the worst beat of, like, last week. I don't know. You were at the game, so you probably weren't paying attention. But they were up 14-0, and then with, like, 2 minutes left, I got Buffalo minus, like, minus three, I think, first half. And it was 14-0, and then Miami scores with, like, a minute and 20 left, made it 14-7, no big deal, right? And then Josh Allen throws a pick six to end the first half to ruin my first half bet. But I doubled it back on second half, and I won Buffalo all because of you and what you put in that chat. So, yeah, that was awesome. And then at 4 o'clock, 4 o'clock, what did we do? What did I do at 4 o'clock? I had a bunch of, like, I was on, I liked Minnesota. I thought Minnesota would end up coming back in the second half. I had them to come back, and they didn't. So I didn't do much, and then I capped it off with Indy at night. That was just too easy, I thought, without Mariota playing. And Andrew Luck has just been dominating for us all year. So
I feel like week 17 is one week you could, there's not really like a sharp versus public divide where you can jump on the public teams like Indy last week and the Eagles and you can make some money off of it.
Yeah, I mean, but you know, at four o'clock, I feel like you know, the sharp picks probably came through. Cleveland came through. Chicago came through. Oh, yeah, you're right. It was kind of split. And then Philly won. So,
Vic, were there any games you played last week? I know we were all talking about the Buffalo game in the chat that we were in.
Yeah, sorry I got kicked off. But one, thank you for Buffalo. That was that was huge. Once I got your Twitter DM, I went big on him. So I loved the video he had beforehand. So that was great. I just took the Chiefs and the Patriots, man. They came through big for me. I looked for, like, teams that were motivated, and they really needed to win to get that bye. So hit those teams pretty hard and then wrapped it up with the Colts in the night. So it was a pretty good Week 17. But like you said, man, it's a kind of crapshoot dart throw. But I just tried to look for, like, some good motivational matchups there.
I agree. Yeah. So
I hate Week 17.
So you get, like, a totally different vibe from it when you're placing the bets on the week that day. Yeah, it's almost like that week of the preseason when it's like the fourth week where it's like you don't know who the hell's gonna play, and
yeah, it's all coin flip.
Yeah. So I speaking of motivation, we got some teams that are gonna be motivated for this week, that's for sure. And we got the first weekend of the wild card playoffs. So we'll start it off. First game up, Indy +2.5, +1.5 against Houston. I'm seeing a couple different lines out there. Vic, what are you kind of seeing as the consensus?
Yeah, so it opened at Houston 2.5, and now I'm seeing 2, 1, 1.5. So I'm kind of seeing 1 as the consensus. So you got Houston -1, and it's a pretty interesting, percentage-wise, like, game, because it's literally 50-50. You know, everyone's on – I would have thought more people would be on the Colts after how they looked on Sunday, but you got 50-50 betting. But Sharps definitely hit the Colts +3, 2.5 early, because now it's down to 1 in most books.
Yeah, I remember you guys remember the last time we were on, I said, I can't wait for this matchup, and we got the matchup that I wanted.
Yep.
I love Indianapolis. I was hoping, the line would be a little bit higher than what it is. Yeah. We're not getting the 3 points we should be getting. It makes me kind of leery to take them, because I'm going against a short, home dog, right? But like you said, Vic, this is 50-50. This is a coin flip. Take who you like is what I'm looking at. I don't see a sucker pick in this game or a sharp square divide. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, I'm gonna personally go with what I like in this game, and that's what I usually do in the playoffs. And I like Indy in this spot. I was hoping they weren't everyone wasn't gonna see them on prime time and kind of like hop on board, and we could have probably got that 3. But you know what? This game's gonna come down to whoever's gonna win. I don't think the point spread is gonna matter regardless. So I'm gonna be all over Indy in this first game.
Yeah, I think I'm going to be on there with you. Just because I've been riding Indy all year, and I still think this team is actually pretty legit. I mean, they won something like 9 of their last 10 games. So when you think about that, they might be the best team down the stretch in the second half of the season, because they've really just put it together. They're playing real well. Defense is doing, everything that it needs to kind of get teams off the field. And one thing I also wanted to kind of give a tip out to is when you're in the playoffs, I don't know why this is, probably because the teams are so close, but the point spread rarely comes into play. I just read this the other day, like 83% of the time, the team that covers the spread wins the game outright. So it's almost like bet the money line if you're going to bet the underdog, or just, bet the spread if you're going to bet the favorite. Just so that you can kind of save yourself, a little bit of vague here and there. But also in the wild card round, that number jumps up even more. So it's like the teams are even more competitive in that time, because it goes from 83 to 89.8%, which is basically 9 out of 10 games, point spread doesn't even come into play. So when you look at these games this week, it's almost basically pick the winner of each one of them. Because the point spread's really not going to come into play. They're so close, other than the last game of the week, which is the Bears and the Eagles. That one's a little more lopsided in the spread. But I like Indy here. I think the way that they've been playing the past couple of weeks has been, pretty much right up there with some of the best teams in the NFL. And then we've been talking about it all season, how Houston's kind of fraudulent, and Indy could have easily went 2-0 against them. I, like John said, wish we were getting a couple more points here, but doesn't surprise me because I think when they just played a couple weeks ago in Houston, Indy was about 4.5. So, Vic, you got anything you lean to in this one? I know you talked about the percentages and everything. Anything that you're going to play or you have played so far?
No, I think I'm going to just ride the Colts train like you guys, and we've been on them all year. Like Joe said, John said, I don't really see like a really Joe's versus Pro kind of divide in this game. It's just, you know, whoever you think is going to win the game straight up. So I think the teams that the Texans can exploit with their D-line are usually teams that have weak O-lines, and the Colts' biggest improvement this year, and I know we talked about a little bit, was just their O-line. Nelson is a monster, and they're just protecting Luck. So as long as he has a little bit of time, I think they're going to pull out this game. I wouldn't be surprised to see them, you know, win kind of big, in my opinion, just because I feel like they are the better team. So it should be a fun game, man. All these games are – I feel like this year, just backing it up for a second, but this year I feel like anybody can literally win the Super Bowl. Like, you can see a team like the Colts or the Bears literally out in the first round, or you can see them literally making a run, you know, to the Super Bowl. So I'm going to ride the Colts. I think next – them and the Bears and, Eddie, you probably know this more.
Looks like he might have dropped off again, but I totally agree with exactly what Vic said, where any team can pretty much win the Super Bowl this year. And the cool thing about that is it almost reminds me of, I think, 2006 when the Steelers were a 6 seed and they went all the way to the Super Bowl. I just think that when these teams are so wide open in the playoffs, it makes it for just a better overall experience for the playoffs, because anybody can win any day. And I also think that some of these teams kind of don't want to see, like, an Indy, someone who's coming in hot in the second round. So, John, do you think the Super Bowl is pretty much wide open, like Vic said?
Yeah, I mean, it's all about who's hot at the time. And when you talked about that Pittsburgh run that they made from the 6th seed all the way to the Super Bowl, you know, they got in at the 6th seed, and they were the hottest team at the time. And that's basically what Indy is right now. They are the hottest team in the league. So, I can definitely see, you know, on the AFC, you could see the Chiefs obviously making it. You could see the Colts going on the run that they can go on, right? I don't see, you could see the Ravens doing it with their defense and just running the ball like they have been. You know, you could see Philip Rivers, you know, being Philip Rivers, but one of those teams is going to catch fire, the Colts, the Ravens, the Chiefs. I feel like it's going to be one of those three on the AFC. And then the NFC, the same thing. You know, the Saints have been hot all year. The Bears got the defense. The Cowboys got the defense. I lean towards one of those three on that side. So it's always that team that comes in hot, just like you said, that Pittsburgh team that one year. And the Ravens the year that Flacco won it, you know, they were hot. They came in hot. So it is always a team like that. But getting back to this Indy Houston game, not only is Indy's O line gonna help with protection, but also Houston's DBs are banged up. Andrew Luck, I feel like, is gonna tear them apart. I was watching them the last couple weeks against Nick Foles, and he was just, you know, chucking it downfield, and they were making all kinds of grabs. So if Luck picks them apart like he did against Tennessee last week, I know it's in Houston. I just don't see how Houston's going to pull this one off.
Yeah, I don't think Houston's home field advantage is all that great either. So I think in this spot here, it's a good spot for Indy to come back. And we're getting some points, so that helps. But it'll be interesting to see if, you know, the Colts kind of ride that momentum and keep going into the playoffs. Because then I think if they can win this game, they're one of those teams that I don't think the Patriots want to see next week. The Chiefs don't want to see next week. So – it would be the Chiefs, actually, since they're the last seed. Yeah, so,
that's you know what? If I was really hoping for an Indy New England matchup next week, it's not possible, because I feel like Chiefs and Colts are like the two best teams in the AFC. But
yeah, and
let me ask you guys a quick question: Who is the hottest team coming into the playoffs?
Oh, I definitely think it's Indy.
Yep, I agree.
They won 9 out of the last 10?
Yep.
Yeah, they started 1-5. Yeah, and they're just rolling, man. Andrew Luck looks like the Andrew Luck from a couple of years ago. So,
I mean,
their defense looks good. Their coach, you know, the offensive plays that they've been running have been, you know, really good. So, they're definitely the hottest team coming in. But they're not the only one. There's a few hot teams. You know, the Bears look good. The Ravens look good. The Chiefs have been hot all year. So, and they got the home field. So, it's going to be fun to watch.
The only reason I asked, I feel like it's the Colts and the Bears because they're 9-1 over the last 10. And then the Ravens who are picking it up. But, like, everyone on ESPN and all these channels have been hyping the Eagles. And I shouldn't talk because we're going to play them and hopefully win. But, like, I feel like how are they the hottest team when you have, like, teams like the Bears, the Colts, and the Ravens, right? But I don't know.
I just want a good story.
I'm not talking about the Eagles. I was against them all last year, and they were destroying me. Every time the Eagles played a game in the playoffs last year, I was on the opposite side thinking, oh, they can't win here. They can't win this game. Nick Foles can't win this game. And they pull off every single the three games that they pulled off against, you know, the Falcons, which, you know, they barely got by, and then they blew out Minnesota, and Matt Patricia's defense can't stop them all one time, so then Tom Brady can win the game. It was crazy. So I'm not saying nothing bad about the Eagles this year, and let's just see what happens.
Yeah, I'm on the same boat.
Yeah, we'll touch on that game in a little bit. So
we're all on the Colts, right? That's a pick.
We are on the Colts. So we'll see if we get the same consensus for the night game on Saturday. That's going to be the Seahawks at the Cowboys. I'm seeing some twos, some 1.5s, and another close to 50-50 split. Vic, is that what you see too?
Yeah, it's literally a copy of the first game, man. It started at 2.5, so short, home favorite, and then you're seeing everything from 1 to 1.5 to 2 across the board, and then literally 50. This is even closer than the last game. This is 50-50 down the line for spread and money line, which is crazy. So I think everyone is just like the last game. You're either whoever you think is literally going to win the game straight up is who you're going to be taking.
Wow. I really would have thought more people would be like on the public side and be on the Cowboys, especially at home, only having to lay like 1-2 points. It's surprising that there's not more people on the Cowboys. I feel like this year, man, the public has gotten a little bit sharper and they're not just kind of going for those bait picks that I always thought that they would in the past, where like you see a line, you're like, oh, the public's going to be all over, you know, so-and-so -3 on the road. And they don't. They sometimes, you know, it's not as, you know, 80-20 split like it used to be. I think the only time you see that is like when you have teams like, I don't remember who it was, maybe the Seahawks a couple weeks ago playing the Niners at home. So that might be sometimes where you get those 80-20 splits, but not happening too much anymore. In the playoffs here, I kind of like the Seahawks, I think, in this game, mostly because we're kind of getting the points. I think Dallas is a little overrated, but I also think Seattle's overrated. So that's why this game's so hard for me to pick, because both teams in my eyes are overrated. I don't think either one of them is going to win the Super Bowl. I don't really like either one of them coming into this playoffs. So I think I'm just going to kind of go with the team that's got some points here, probably take the Seahawks. But I don't know if I'm going to be playing this one too big. Obviously, I'm going to play it because it's the playoffs and it's a primetime game. So, John, you like anyone in this one?
You know what? If this was an 80-20 split, the contrarian in me would just take the side. You know, when I first looked at it and I saw it, and I was like, oh, man, this is going to be 80-20 Cowboys, 70-30 Cowboys, right? But it's not. It's split down the middle. And honestly, I like, you know, Dallas is home. I feel like they got the best out of the four offensive defenses on the field. I know Seattle's defense is good. I feel like the Cowboys' defense is very underrated, and they're playing at home. I know Russell Wilson does what Russell Wilson does, right? But that usually happens in Seattle, where he pulls out all these miracle plays that he runs. I like the Cowboys' defense in this game to get them to win. And Dak is going to do just enough by handing it off to Elliott and playing, you know, ball control. And I feel like they're going to squeak this one out. So I'm on the Cowboys here. The funny thing is, it's a coin flip, right? So, and that's the team I like, so that's the team I'm going to take. Again, like I said, if it was 75, 20, 25 in favor of Dallas, I would just take Seattle, and it'd make my life a lot easier. But it's not. It's 50-50. I'm going to go with that. I like the Cowboys in this spot here.
Vic, convince me on a side, man, because I'm so torn on this one. And I'm looking at it right now, and I'm almost changing my pick. So
it's tough, man. I think all of these games are literally so sharp this weekend. And the only reason I lean towards Dallas, and again, I don't love either side, is what they did against the Saints. I think they'll be able to play a lot of man and kind of, you know, take care of Seattle's receivers. I know Russell Wilson calls them the best in the game, but to me, if you play the man, play physical like Dallas did to the Saints, that's where you can shake Seattle up a little bit. And the reason I bring that up is because of how they played against the Bears earlier this year. I don't know if you guys remember that game, but they came into Soldier Field and the Bears manhandled them. They played physical. They pushed them around the line of scrimmage. They pushed around their wide receivers. So I think Dallas can literally do the same exact thing that the Bears did. If they just watch that Bears game, they just run the ball, control the line of scrimmage, play physical, they can win. So I'm going to ride with the Cowboys in this game, but, you know, not anything crazy just to play it because it's the playoffs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you guys might have convinced me to change a little bit because I'm looking at Seattle here, and I'm looking at their last seven games, and only two of those games were on the road. So they played five of their last seven at home, which, John, like you said, they're a totally different team when they play at home. And even if you go to their last eight games and include the last three road games that they played at the Rams where they lost, didn't play too well. Then they played at Carolina, which I remember that was one of my picks of the week, and Carolina dominated them, but Seattle still found a way to kind of squeak out the win. I think that was more Carolina losing that game than Seattle winning that game.
Definitely.
And then the last one was at San Francisco when San Francisco kind of took it to them. And, man, Seattle's not that good on the road. So,
yeah.
I don't know. Now I kind of feel like I'm leaning the Cowboys here. So
yeah, listen, if this game was in Seattle, they'd be -3, and we'd probably be all over Seattle. The only way that Seattle's going to pull off this game, and they did play earlier in the year. I don't remember where it was at. It was probably Seattle.
Yeah, it was.
Seattle won the game, but they won the game. You know, Cowboys turned it over three times. And that's the only way I feel like Seattle's going to end up winning this game is if they can get some Cowboy turnovers. And, you know, Dak is a little prone to do that in the red zone, but I bet you they clear all that up and they just play ball control and let the Cowboy defense handle the game for them. So yeah, I'm going to be on the Cowboys because they're basically at home and they're not giving up any points.
Yeah, I think Vic convinced me too. His little cherry put it on the end for me. So I'm going with the Cowboys now. I'm switching cool. It.
Yeah, I just think like, if they can do what the Bears did and if they can play the way they did against the Saints, and they were at home in that game too. So,
right.
You know, there's some templates out there to beat Seattle. So this isn't as – I know everyone hypes them up, but this isn't as good as a team as they've had in the past, in my opinion. So especially with them being on the road, I think Dallas is a pretty good, you know, solid side.
Yes.
I mean, regardless of whoever wins this game, I think I'm fading them next week. So if Cowboys or Seattle win, I don't think it's going to matter when they end up going into
New Orleans.
It will depend on the Chicago game.
Unless the Bears lose,
right?
Then they would get reseeded. I hope not. But if the Bears take care of business, then either of these teams will have to go to New Orleans.
I was going to say, Vic, don't jinx it. Don't jinx your Bears.
I know.
Predicted that one of these two was going to New Orleans for sure. So, all right, we'll jump over to Sunday now. And this is, I think, the hardest game of the weekend to pick. We got the Chargers, my Super Bowl pick, 2.5-point underdogs in Baltimore against the Ravens. I'm seeing a majority of the money, it looks like, on the Chargers, but not too crazy. Before we kind of get to the picks, the one thing I kind of like about this game here is with the Chargers and the Ravens offense, I think it's kind of hard to game plan for the Ravens offense with Lamar Jackson when you see it for the first time, but when you get it for a second time, and especially it was only like 2-3 weeks ago that they played, I think that helps out a little bit because you're kind of already familiar with it. You've game planned for it once. You can see what mistakes you made and kind of fix those so that you can take advantage of, you know, some of the weaknesses of the offense. Because Lamar Jackson, he's not the greatest thrower of the football. And the run game is really tricky. Their offensive line has been opening up some crazy big holes. So, Vic, what are the percentages looking like that you're seeing? And is the line still sitting at like 2.5 everywhere?
Yeah, so this is the only game on the board where the public is hammering the side. And a lot, I'm talking about like crazy style. So the line's 2.5. It started at 3. The line's 2.5 in most books. And everyone is on the Chargers. You're looking at about a 70-30 split.
Wow.
It gets even bigger if you go to the money line. It's 75-25. So I think, you know, pretty much everyone's just thinking there's no chance that Chargers lose twice to the Ravens and rookie quarterback. I think traditionally rookie quarterbacks have not been good against the spread when it comes to the playoffs as well. So everyone's on the Chargers.
Man. Ah. Every time anytime we watch a game, I can't give you one example because I'm not thinking of one. But when two teams play like these two teams just played a few weeks ago, and it's still fresh in our heads that, you know, Baltimore basically shut these guys down. They ran the ball up and down the field. Phillip Rivers couldn't do nothing because Weddle was on the other side and controlling everything on that side. I feel like every time that happens, the next time they play, everything gets resolved, and then it goes the other way. You know what I'm saying? So I like the Chargers in that aspect, but what you guys are saying to me right now, the contrarian and me and they're both of you guys, Baltimore's the pick, right, guys? Like, they're home. They're not giving up 3 points. It's 75% the other way, and we've already seen it once. So, man, from what you guys are telling me, if it's going to stay that way, I'm going to have to just go with that and say I'm picking Baltimore, and hopefully the game plays out just like it did a few weeks ago. I was going to tell you guys I like the Chargers because I felt like games usually don't play out the same exact way two times in a year, right? But, I mean, if all the money's still on the Chargers, I can't do that. I'll be all over Baltimore as a short.
John, let me give you an example, though, of two teams that played this year where it played out exactly the same way. Take a look at the Vikings and the Bears. And – so Bears literally dominated the line of scrimmage both games, and Cousins looked shook. So again, very, very tough game. I was thinking Chargers, leaning Chargers until I'm looking at everyone being on them. But what if just Baltimore's line, just, you know, their D just handles the line of scrimmage and it's an exact kind of run back just like the Bears Vikings was in week 17?
That is exactly what I thought about when I watched this game the first time, because I was like, man, these teams could easily match up in the playoffs with one another. And I watched Baltimore's defensive line dominate San Diego's LA's offensive line, because Phillip Rivers was under pressure almost that whole game and it caused them to make some really bad throws. And that was the one thing that I just don't think you can really fix. I mean, you could add in some protection, bring in another blocker, things like that, but then you lose weapons in the pass game. So that's the one matchup that concerns me. One note, though, is the Chargers are getting a little healthier now, and they are getting some guys back. I know Hunter Henry's going to play for the first time this year. He, like, tore his ACL in, like, minicamp. So he's going to be playing this week, according to reports. So I don't know how healthy he's going to be, how much of an impact he's going to have. Certainly helps. Doesn't hurt to have him in the lineup. He's one of the most efficient. He is actually one of the most efficient players in the NFL. I've saw Warren Sharp did like this huge thing on him last year, where when they throw the ball to him, it's like he basically catches it every time. He always has successful plays. So he's a good guy. I was really targeting him in fantasy this year. It sucks that he had to get hurt, but I think that the one thing that's going to scare me about the Chargers is their offensive line against Baltimore's defensive line.
I don't want to sway myself from taking the Ravens, because that's probably what I'm going to end up doing. But do you guys think Cleveland kind of put a blueprint out there how to beat the Ravens defense, because they looked like unbeatable for weeks. And I mean, Baker just went out there and they were just running go routes and he was slinging the ball, and they were, I felt like Baltimore couldn't stop him. The only way they ended up stopping him was blitzing everybody. I don't know. I'm sticking with the Ravens.
Good point. The other game, if you guys remember a little bit, was the Saints against the Ravens. And I think we brought the Ravens, but the Saints kind of slung it around just like Baker did, and they pulled that game off. I know Tucker missed a field goal. Ravens had a turnover, but the Saints and the Browns were able to move the ball against them. I just don't know if LA's offensive line can give Rivers time. That's the thing. And Hunter Henry, I know, I love that guy, like fantasy-wise, Eddie, but, like, being out all year, not getting any reps – first week back, like, I just don't see him making an impact. And then I know Gordon's a little dinged up as well. So if he's a step slow, you know, that hurts him as well. So I don't know. I'm liking the Ravens more and more as we're talking, just because, like, at the end of the day, the teams that can dominate the line of scrimmage are the ones that usually, you know, make it. And defense definitely carries through a little bit further in the playoffs on offense.
That's usually the first thing I look for when my betting is the line of scrimmage is, like, John always talks about, like, how you know sometimes in the first 5-10 minutes of a game if you're on the right side or not. Usually that's the first thing you can tell is the line of scrimmage. If the defensive line is just constantly getting pressure on the quarterback, or, you know, the offensive line is just giving the quarterback all day to throw, that's when you know you're on the wrong side. So I think that's one thing to look out for real quick, because this is going to be one of those games that John always talks about where you're going to know in the first 5-10 minutes of the game who's the right side in this spot.
Yeah, definitely.
So, sounds like you guys are going to be on the Ravens. I'm going to be on the Chargers. We may have a little split here.
Yeah, you have to be on the Chargers. You got a prop bet on them to go to the Super Bowl, don't you?
Yeah,
I did, but we'll see.
All right. I mean, we'll see. Let's see what happens.
Yeah. So, all right. We got one more game on the Sunday slate in the NFL. 4:45, it looks like. Chicago, Vic, your Bears are at home -6 against the Eagles. Give me something you like about your Bears. I think are you gonna be on that side?
Oh man, it's tough, man. I think I will be on them. The only thing that worries me, so let's talk about the line. You're looking at about 50-50 split. It's about 54 on the Bears and 46 on the Eagles. So not everyone is on a particular side, which makes me feel a little bit better. And then the line opened up at 4.5 because there were some questions about if Foles was going to play, but they said he looks good. He has bruised ribs, but he's going to give it a go. So it's sitting at 6 everywhere right now. So Bears -6, you're looking at kind of 50-50. And I'll tell you the things that worry me if you're on the Bears. So the biggest thing that worries me is their kicker. And I know we've talked about it on this pod a little bit, but the guy's terrible, probably the worst kicker left in the playoffs. And when it comes to the playoffs and it comes to actually covering bigger spreads, I mean, that's going to be a big thing where we could probably get backdoored by Philly, or, you know, the Bears could be up 3 or 4 points and just win, and this dude's going to miss a field goal. So everything else, I mean, I think the Bears can dominate the line of scrimmage. The other thing that worries me is Fletcher Cox. I think – there, even though the Eagles secondary is really, really bad and beat up, their D-line and O-line are still really, really good. And that's what took them to the Super Bowl last year. So Fletcher Cox can cause some havoc. But I'm looking forward to Khalil Mack just getting to folds a little bit. Hopefully hits him early. It's going to be cold, so hopefully those ribs start to hurt a little bit more once Mack gets a hold of him. So, yeah, I'm leaning the Bears. I don't love it. I did love like 4 when it first opened, but 6 seems a little high to me just because of like the kicking and the special teams and things like that. So wanted to hear what you guys thought. Obviously, I'm a little biased, so I'll let you guys open it up.
Yeah, you're not taking – there's no way – there's no chance in hell, even if you knew it was 90% chance, you're not taking the Eagles in this game.
I'm not betting on the Eagles for sure, but I just don't know if I'm putting money on the Bears.
Is Eddie Jackson playing?
So the receivers all have that have been dinged up. They said they're all playing: Allen Robinson, Taylor Gabriel, Miller, and then Eddie Jackson has not practiced. But everyone around the team is pretty much saying he's going to play.
Man, I love that guy. He's a great player. I like the beer. You know, I don't know about this. This point spread is tough. Just picking the game itself, I know it sounds crazy to say, and I'm probably just going to go with the Bears because of what Eddie said to start the pot out. But I like the Bears. I just don't know about the 6 points. I don't feel like the Bears are going to lose this game. Not at home, right? Not against that banged-up secondary, and not with that great defense. There's no way that the Bears are going to end up giving this game away in Soldier Field. The 6 points, I don't know, kind of worries me because, like you said, the kicker might, you know, he might miss a kick. That might cost you the point spread. Or, you know, there might be some kind of backdoor at the end of the game.
Yeah.
But, you know, in the playoffs, I love to find the best unit on the field. And that Bears unit is unbelievable. I love watching them play. I love having action on them when the defense is on the field. So I'm going to go with the Bears. I know it's 6 points. The 6 points is a lot. I just don't see how I can take Philly.
Yeah, I think, John, you bring up a good point about the home field advantage. Like, under John Fox, it was horrendous. Under Coach Nagy, it's been amazing. And, like, the vibe is just nuts. The city's going insane. Soldier Field's going to be rocking. I think the Bears at home, the Saints at home, and the Pats at home, I don't know about point spreads, but I don't see these three teams losing, you know, when they first came out.
And this might sound funny, but both these coaches – for some reason, go for two at the oddest times. I don't know if this is going to play into the.
Uh-oh, I think John dropped.
Yeah, I think he dropped.
Oh, or there he is.
Yeah, John. I don't know if that – I was talking about the two-point conversion that Peterson and Nagy, they always go for two at the most inconvenient times for me. So, I don't know. Hopefully that doesn't play into that factor. I'm going to end up being on the Bears, especially if I really like – out of all four games, probably this one is like the one that is the one that I won't have as much units on, right? Because I like picking games without a point spread, and the other three are basically like that. This one here with the 6 points is a little different, but I'm still gonna end up being on the Bears. I don't know what you guys are gonna, and I don't know what Eddie's thinking.
Eddie, before you jump in, I'll give you guys another fun fact. I don't know if a lot of people know this, but like. Coach Peterson is Coach Nagy's mentor, and every job that he's ever had, Coach Nagy's literally followed his path essentially. So like video coordinator to like assistant coach to head coach. So like Coach Nagy was saying, like last year the Eagles won the Super Bowl. So he called Coach Peterson and said, "Hey, I've been following your path for the last 15 years. So you know, we're going to win the Super Bowl this year." So I thought that was kind of crazy. His story, Coach Nagy's story, is pretty cool. If you guys have some time, I'll send it to you. The dude was literally giving up on football, had a wife and kid, went into like real estate construction, and literally just talked his way into an interview. Started literally under video coordinator, like the lowest positions, and has just worked his way up. And the guy's been pretty amazing in Chicago. So just a cool story there.
And we got Matt Patricia. That's great.
Man. Oh, man. You guys just hyped up the Bears so much. And then here I am. I'm not sure what the hell I'm going to play on this game. Because part of me leans to the Eagles. And I want to – oh, man. But I also – I initially leaned the Bears when I saw this line come out. Because I'm like, man, everybody's been on the Eagles. And it's just getting so overvalued. The media's hyping them up. But – the one thing that scares me about this is that is there anybody on the Bears, Vic, that has had playoff experience before?
That's the you know, kind of big thing. You're looking at an entirely revamped roster that's like 27 years old or younger. So, you know, not that many people. I would probably look at like nobody if you – I mean, just going – just because, like, all of our veterans haven't been in the playoffs, right? Because we've been trash. We signed a bunch of really good free agents. But I think, like, Allen Robinson, for example, I would say I think he was in the playoffs a couple of years ago with the Jags. So
he was out all last year when they blamed it. So he was on all the garbage Jags teams.
Yeah. So like he, again, so like, that's why, I mean, that's a great point. I don't see a lot of like, you know, playoff. Trey Burton.
Trey Burton. Yeah.
He's kind of been like their vocal, like leader, go-to guy that talks about like his experience from winning the Super Bowl last year. So Trey Burton, but other than him, I mean, Danny Trevathan from the Broncos. Okay. I know he won the Super Bowl. So I would say like those are the two big kind of veteran playoff guys, but the rest of the team is very, very green.
That's the one thing that's kind of giving me pause about the Bears, only because they're laying so many points here in a playoff game and they don't really have that much experience. So part of me is a little worried about the nerves. If I were you, I don't know why, but I would really hope that you guys win the coin toss and defer if you could, because I would want that defense to be on the field first to try and set the tone. And then I know you, the offense, you know, the first 10 plays and how Nagy always comes out. It goes crazy with those first 10 plays, but I don't know. I would feel like I'd want the defense to kind of set the tone, get the crowd into it, hopefully get a big stop, maybe some sacks. But I don't know, man. It's tough for me.
You think Eagles can win the game?
That's what I don't think they're going to win the game. But the one thing that concerns me is the playoff experience. And, like, you know, what if they all, you know, Mitch Trubisky's out there. He's just kind of like deer in the headlights out there. First playoff game, gets a little shook. And then, you know, they're not putting up points. And then maybe the Eagles just kind of sneak in, you know, down by 10 points late, sneak in, get a backdoor touchdown or something to cover that spread. So I think the Eagles can keep it close. That is what's giving me a little bit of pause about laying 6 points. If this spread was 3, I'd be all over the Bears. But the fact that it's 6, that's tough for me. So I would kind of lean Eagles right now, but
teams are a better kicker. I would honestly be on the Bears as well, but it just kind of scares me. I think that the point spread's a little high. So it should be a fun game, though, man. I think, like you said, Eddie, it's going to come down to Mitch, right? Like, as long as he plays the way he's been playing the last few weeks, just under control, smart, no turnovers, just doing his thing. I think if they can do that, I think Coach Nagy's going to take some shots down the field. So as long as they can convert a couple of those or get some penalties, their defense comes hyped up, they should win. But it's a tough game, man. Honestly speaking, like, even though if I'm not a Bears fan, just looking at it from a gambling aspect, it's like you can make sides. And that's the thing about all the games this week. I feel like you can make points for, like, either side.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, I could totally see Chicago blowing them out too, because Philly's defense, you know, their secondary banged up. They have guys, I think – I read some crazy stat that Jim Schwartz have like 25 different starters or something this season on defense and still managed to make it work. So they have a bunch of no names, especially in the secondary. Their secondary is awful. So I feel like the Bears can take advantage of that. I don't know. I can see the Bears blowing them out too, but the part that gives me just a little bit of pause is they have literally almost no playoff experience, especially with their main key guys, mostly Trubisky, but just a lot of their core players too, like Kyle Long really has never been there. I mean, even, you know, he's a veteran, been there for a long time, but that's the one thing that's kind of scaring me a little bit. So in the kicker you mentioned, man, you just hard to trust him because he can easily dang one off the post any time. So I don't know if we talked about this. What are the percentages on this game?
You're looking at 50-50 pretty much.
Wow,
so it's
these
50
this weekend, man.
54 Bears, 46 Eagles.
This should be like 70-30, you know, and a 6-point spread, and it's 50-50. I like Bears. So if we're going our best bets this week, we're going Indy, right, guys?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so, just because we all agree on Colts, right?
Yeah, that was really the only game we all agreed on.
Right.
So, and Dallas, I think, kind of. We kind of reached a consensus
Dallas,
on that
yep.
one.
Indy, Dallas, yep.
So we'll all be right. bigger players yeah. on Saturday than we will be on Sunday.
Yeah.
But we know Vic's going to be a pretty big cheerleader on Sunday.
Oh, for sure.
All right, so we talked about all the NFL. Then Monday night, we got a pretty good one. round four in the past 4 years. They played in the semifinals last year. Clemson and Alabama. They are lines about 5.5 right now. I'm not seeing any percentages on this book that I'm looking at. So, Vic, what are they? Do you know?
Yeah, so we're looking at the line opened at 6.5, and right now it's kind of settled at 5.5. And another pretty sharp game, man. It's 55 Alabama, 45 Clemson. So that's what it's looking at percentages-wise. The last – I'll give you guys a fun little tidbit, but the last 3 years, the final score has been like 3 points, 4 points, and 5 points. So – it's pretty sharp, man. I think the line's straight on. I thought it was a little elevated, a little high at 6.5. So like some big money came down and took Clemson at 6.5. But now I think it's probably at the right settle where it's around 5.
John, you've been the college guy this year. We'll let you take the lead for this one.
Man, look, the line move is making me the move from 6.5 to 5.5 is telling me Clemson. So. This is gonna be the funnest game to watch. There's finally gonna be a good college football bowl game, playoff game on. I feel like everything else that they've shown so far in all bowl season have basically been exhibition games.
Yeah.
And the two playoff games were both blowouts, even though that Oklahoma backdoored that Alabama game. Man, you know what? I'm just basing this off of the line move. And I know maybe 6.5 was too high, but you know, at the beginning of the year, I think they said that this line would be 8, and then that came, and then they said that was way too high. When 6.5 came out, they said that's not going to last, and it didn't. So I'm going to be on Clemson. I'm hoping I can find a 6 somewhere. I thought I'd get a 7, but there's no way I'm going to find a 7 right now with Clemson, but. This is going to be a close game. This is going to be a 3-point game either way. I don't see Alabama running away with this game. So I'm going to be on Clemson in this game. It's going to be fun to watch.
Vic, how about you? Who you like?
I like Clemson, man. I'm trying to get a 6. There's a couple of 6s out there. If you book online, like Bovada has a 6. So I think that line's elevated, man. Clemson's got a great squad. They got a good – I love their quarterback. And they aren't scared of Alabama. You know, half the time teams come in and they're just scared and they just get waxed mentally. So, I think they got the horses to play with them. I'm going to grab the 6 points and go with Clemson.
Man, I don't know what it is today, but I am opposite of you guys almost these past 3 picks.
give us some reasons why.
Alabama, man. They've just wrecked teams all year, and their defense is starting to show a couple of, you know, chinks in the armor. If you look the past couple of games, point totals against them gone 17, 21, 28, 34, but they were rolling Oklahoma. That game, like John said, the backdoor cover came into play, but I think they just kind of took their foot off the gas in that game and just let Oklahoma come back and they knew they had it wrapped up, so there was never really any sweat for them there. Clemson, I don't know. I've watched a couple of their games this year, and they tend to, you know, have some games where they don't look very good. I know there was a Texas A&M game earlier in the year where they didn't play very well. Syracuse, they barely squeaked that one out. So there's games here and there where they just, I don't know, they show that they can be beaten. And I think in this spot here, I think Alabama's going to win the game. And therefore, I like to take the team that is going to win the game to cover the spread, too, because most of the time that's how it happens. I don't think Clemson's going to win here. They don't have Deshaun Watson. So it's not like they have the kryptonite that was always the thorn in the side for Alabama those 2 years that they played in the national championship. So. Trevor Lawrence, he's a true freshman, right?
Yeah.
Against Alabama's defense, that's another thing I like about this game. So they say he's going to be the number one pick in a couple of years, but he's still a true freshman. So I'm going to go with Tua, Alabama. I really like them here. I actually it probably going to take the 5.5 since I don't think it's going to get any lower than that. So I'm going to roll with Alabama -5.5 for the national championship.
Man, we're on opposite sides all weekend, Eddie.
I think we're the first two games on Saturday we're on the same side, but Sunday on we're opposite.
You know, the only thing I could see in this if Alabama does pull this game off and cover the spread, it's going to be because Tua throws the ball downfield. That's the only weakness I see that they can exploit in this Clemson defense, because I know Alabama is a great offensive team this year. It's going to be very hard to run the ball still on Clemson.
Yeah.
So the only way they're going to exploit them is to throw it. But you know what? I don't know how much Alabama's defense has actually been tested this year. They're not as good as the Alabama defenses in the past. And I feel like the way Clemson plays offense, they're going to be able to move the ball at their pace. So unless Tua, you know, is slinging it up and down the field on Clemson, and this turns into a shootout somehow, if this stays like ball control, right, both teams are playing pretty good, it's going to be close. And I feel like we'll stay within that 6 points, even if Clemson doesn't pull it out.
Is the guy who the defensive lineman for Clemson that got suspended, is he playing in this one, or was he suspended for just the first game?
You know, Vic might know. I'm not sure. They got so much strength on that line. It's not going to matter. I know he's really good. He's going to be a first round pick. But there's some other guys on that line that are first round picks also.
Yeah, they have like 3 first rounders. So
is Lawrence playing, Vic? Do you know? Does anybody know if Lawrence is playing?
Clemson's going to announce the status of them in the next couple of days. So we don't know, basically. But I feel like last week they were saying his backup is also like going to go to the NFL. They got some like good beasts behind him, but the guy is definitely a game changer. So
yeah. So I don't think either team's going to be really able to run the ball in this game. I know ETN for Clemson is a monster, but still, I think Alabama probably will stack the box a little bit, make the Trevor Lawrence try and beat him. But I don't know. True freshman national championship game, it's going to be tough to see that guy beat Alabama's defense. So
fun to watch though. Finally,
it will be
a good football game. Five fun games to watch this weekend. That's for sure.
Yeah. And I don't know, this could easily be similar to the first year that they played. I think the Clemson kind of snuck in the back door and covered when Alabama won the national championship. Do you guys remember that game?
Yeah.
I think Clemson did cover that game, though, but it was like a backdoor touchdown that crushed me because I was on Alabama that game.
Yeah, and then they beat them that – yeah, I was on. I think you're right because I was on the wrong side of that game. And then the next year, Watson scored to that Renfro guy that's still there, and
somehow,
he's still there.
Yeah, and then Alabama finally got him, but that was in the semis last year. And that's basically after watching that game, this is why Lawrence was playing in this game. So we'll see. It's gonna be fun to watch.
Yeah, I know. Last year, I was on Georgia in the national championship game, and man, I thought they should have won that game. And it actually worked out for me somehow. I got Alabama -3, like in the game, and then I had Georgia +4.5 for the game, and I think it landed 4 in overtime, or it landed 3 or something like that. So I middled it. I was so happy that I came out middling it. But that game was a lot of fun to watch. So I hope we get a good one like last year, because that game was a lot of fun. And Clemson and Alabama have put together some classics. So hopefully we get a good game on Monday night.
Okay, so, cool.
I think that's everything that we had to get through for this week for the football game. So end of college football season, which kind of sucks, but we still have plenty of NFL playoff games to go. So John and I, we're going to go sip on some orange juice and cough drops for the next couple hours and hopefully get better, and then next week we'll come back strong, feeling better, and hopefully with a couple of winners. I don't know if we really provided too many consensus picks this week. So Saturday's the day you guys want to bet the games because we like those ones. So if you play them, play Saturday.
But, let's go.
All right, gentlemen, best of luck this week. I know we're on some opposite sides, but hey, maybe we can catch some middles or something and we'll all make some money here.
Cool.
So
yeah, let's do it. Go Bears. Hope you fellas feel better, and we'll post again. Let's do it again next week.
Sounds good.
Later, guys.
See ya.
All right. Later.